I awake in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have grown, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars that flow.
Praise the Lord. We're going to be reading today out of the book of Haggai, and we're going to chapter 2, and we're beginning with verse 1. And it's talking about the second temple that was built. The first one was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, but now Zerubbabel is sent to rebuild this temple. And here we are in Haggai 2, verse 1. It said, "And in the seventh month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory, and how do ye see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison as of nothing?" The temple was much smaller. Solomon, when he built his temple, he had gold that they took from Egypt, and they had gold that they had built up in the land when they took over the Promised Land. They had all that. They had all that gold, and it was just lavish. But now they see that it's not. It says, in comparison as a thing is nothing. And yet now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt. So my spirit remaineth among you. Fear not, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. And we know that that second temple is the temple to which Jesus came eventually. And of course, when he gave his life on Calvary, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. But still, the Messiah had walked in those walls. The Messiah had walked in that temple and been in the temple preaching, even though Israel rejected them by and large, rejected the Messiah, but still the glory of that latter house was greater than the former. and says the Lord. And we can go to Zechariah 4 and 1. It says, "And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me." And this is prophecy also about the second temple. "Came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side." So Zechariah is seeing this vision, and so I answered and spake unto the angel that talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" And the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, "Knowest thou not what these be?" And I said, "No, my Lord." And he answered and spake unto me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth." In other words, the eyes of the Lord are going to rejoice just to see Zerubbabel coming with the plummet line. Just a day of small things, you know. When you're going to build a house or build in this case, the temple, they would take their plummet line, and they have to set the foundation and set that cornerstone, make sure it's plumb, make sure it's all vertical and level and everything like that. And they would use a weighted plumb line, a lead bob, and they still have them today. You can get them, and they use the line with a chalk and snap the string. You've probably seen that, but this is a plumb line. And you're checking to sea level, you know, and that's just one of the first things you do. And it's a small little thing, but the eyes of God are going to rejoice when they see Zerubbabel start building this second temple. You know, it's a day of small things, but we need to be encouraged. We need to be enlightened, you know, about these things. And in Ezra chapter 3, this is all about the second temple. The book of Ezra, the book of Zechariah, the book of Haggai. But this is Ezra 3:12. "But many of the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers, who were ancient men and had seen the first house before the Babylonian captivity, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy." The older men were crying, the younger ones were happy about it, but the older ones saw how small it was. Our other scripture said it was like a thing of nothing. You know, it was naught compared to what Solomon had built with all his wealth that David had amassed and gotten and all those things. But nonetheless, all that is so. But God still says that the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. Okay, from here we go to the book of Ruth. We're going to the book of Ruth 4. And our thought today is to remember and to notice, if you're looking for something from God, if you're looking to for an answer to prayer, loved ones who need to be saved, maybe a sickness, something needs to be healed, you need a financial help of some sort, there's some other need that you have that you're praying about, you may only see a little movement, you know, to begin with, but rejoice in that day of small things. Just rejoice and give God the glory. Indeed, we need to thank God even before he begins to move. We need to thank him through faith. We need to understand that when we ask, he hears our prayer. You know, he hears us And so in Ruth chapter 4, verse 1, we'll begin. It said, Then Boaz went up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by. And he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside and sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And this is the story of Ruth and Naomi. It's a wonderful book. I hope that you'll read that book if you haven't, as well as the other books we've mentioned here. It's a wonderful story, one of the most touching in the Bible. I may get emotional just reading this, but here's Boaz, and Ruth has been a wonderful daughter-in-law to Naomi. They've come back to Israel together, and she has worked in the field of Boaz. And Boaz, of course, falls in love with her, and he wants to marry her. And here Naomi tells Ruth what to do, and Ruth does it. You know, Ruth follows Naomi's advice, and Boaz wants to marry her. And so he goes, and he says, there's one relative closer that should redeem you. That was the law in Israel of redemption of a kinsman redeemer. Well, there was one closer than Boaz, and he had to contact him. And so Boaz spake and said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders, they're getting witnesses here. He took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said to the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants, and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. If thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I'll redeem it, I will redeem it. And then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I bar my own inheritance. And I'm not an expert on this, but he had to marry Ruth, this man, and he couldn't do that. Maybe he was already married. Maybe he just couldn't do that. He couldn't conceive of it, and it would mar his own inheritance some way, and he realized that. He said, Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. And it says, Now it was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel, and the witnesses were all watching. And therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. And so he drew off his shoe, and Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, and to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off among his brethren from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come unto thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephrathah, and be famous in Bethlehem. You know, they're saying, be famous in that little town of Bethlehem. You know, be famous in that little town. You know, it's a day of small things. It's just the small things. It's basically, he's getting his marriage license, you know, from the elders. He's purchased this land, and he's got witnesses, and he's going to marry Ruth. And so we've got witnesses here, and they're blessing him. They said, Be famous in Bethlehem, and let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore unto Judah, of the seed of the Lord, and of the seed which the Lord shall give thee, of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that is, that his name may be famous in Israel. Now we've gone from his name being famous in Bethlehem to his name being famous in Israel. You know, and of course, Israel is a tiny place. I don't know how big it was at the time when the Babylon came back. At the time of David, it was a greater area because of all the conquering that they did. But here, be famous in Israel. But a lot of people today, they can hardly find Israel on the map. It's still a small place, but nonetheless, Israel is important in the eyes of God. And they're saying, be famous in Israel. Now, first we're famous in Bethlehem, and then famous in Israel. I'm wiping my eyes just now. Get them ready to read again. Oops. Let's see. Be famous in... Okay, now we're verse 15. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of life. They're talking to Naomi. He said, Blessed be the Lord, which has not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. And so you see, it was a small thing. It was a day of small things. But he became the father of Jesse. He was David's grandfather then, the father of David. And through David, he became in the line to the Messiah. Hallelujah, the greatest of all. He became that. If you have this day of small things, but God is able to take that day of small things and to multiply it to the ends of the earth. He can multiply it like nobody's business, as we say, take courage in the day of small things. We have so many disappointments in this life. There's so many setbacks, lockdowns, you have to be quarantined. You have to do this. You have to do that. There's so many hardships, things going on. People can't even bury their dead. They can't even be with them as they die of this COVID and whatever, or almost anything in the hospital. They won't allow visitors, and all this carrying on. All these things happen, but take courage. Take courage, though these things be, and though maybe it's a miserable time, and maybe it's a hard time, but take courage in the small things that God does. I'm sure that if you count your blessings and name them one by one, the little things that God does for you, if you're thankful for them, He'll continue to bless. God has blessed me more than I can know. I was determined a while back not only to pay my tithes, but to try to outgive God in my offerings and things like that. And I heard from other preachers and people that God would, if you shovel it out, He'll come with a bulldozer and push it all back to you. And He certainly has. He has blessed me. I've not lacked for anything. I try to give what I can, but God gives it all back. That day of small things, I started out small, started out little, and I'm not no great man. I'm not a millionaire by any means. I'm far from it. I'm a retired. I've got a fixed income, as we say, and it's fixed, all right. I gave $10 something to a charity once, sent it in the mail. I might have done it online, too. I sent some to different ones here and there, something that I used. And so I felt obligated to help them out, something I use in the ministry, some of their material and such, and some of their, the books and things that they have online. So I sent them some help. And lo and behold, I get letters all the time asking for money. They think I'm made of money. I guess they think I've got a tree outside with dollars on the leaves. But I don't have that. But you keep getting all this. It seems like if you help one organization, the other ones all get the word. I guess they sell the data files and whatever, and they make a little bit more off of that. But that day of small things, you know, with man, it getting multiplies too, you know, but it's against you. But with God, that day of small things will grow, and it'll be to your blessing. It'll be to your help. You know, there's nothing that you're going to face in this life that God does not know of, that God has not already prepared you for, and he's got it all worked out. You won't face more than you can bear. God promises that in his word. And we do bear things. We do go through sorrows. You know, in the John 17, there's a place at the end of John 17, I know, but there's a place toward the end where Jesus is talking, and he says about two or three times that the Father will love us with the same love that he loves him with. As the Father loves the Son, he'll also love us. You know, he mentions that twice. And we think of that. That's a great love. But Jesus still had to go to that cross, you know. And we have things. We have a cross to bear sometimes. And most always, we've all got something that we have to bear. There I think we all have something, some more, some less. If you've got more, maybe you're stronger than the others. You know, if you've got less, maybe God's keeping from something that would be much worse than what you got. You know, you think you got it bad, but just imagine what you could be going through. And I believe that we can look at our situation and think we're in dire straits and think we're sunk, we're as good as finished, we're goners. But God is really sparing you from something that would be much, much worse. You know, the thing you're going through now, later on when you look back, it's going to seem like that thing of nothing. You know, it's going to be that day of small things indeed. You know, and you'll rejoice with what God does. You know, God will bring you out. He'll give you a small blessing, but then that blessing will be like a snowball.
Love that morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me, joy and life to share. What rejoicing there!